Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing the show. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster radio program for this Tuesday before Christmas. Just a couple of days away now. It's December the 22nd, 2020. Bringing folks together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening. On my website, buckmastershow.com, where we take the live feed, piggyback it from kvoi.com, the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, let's get right to it and visit with Randy Rogers. Randy is the CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Happy holidays. Thanks for having me today.
Same to you. And talk about a kind of a gangbusters year for real estate in the Tucson area. Randy, let's begin with the overview. What kind of year has this been?
It has been a stellar year, considering that where we've been in this entire pandemic. But from a real estate perspective, it's been off the charts. All statistics down the board are up, and it is truly been one that, for the record books, if you will. We haven't seen the likes of what we've done now since prior to 2008, the last time we had some challenges in the real estate market nationally. So we're doing very well in the Tucson market. That same thing echoes over on the national and state levels as well.
So Randy, what's your take on this? Why?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons, Bill. I think one, mortgage rates continue to be low. We're trending under 3% right now. The projection looking into 2021, even into 2022, is that we may not get above 3.5%. So that's a real positive sign. People have been looking for houses and wanting houses have realized over the course of this last year in 2020 that a house is really important to them. COVID has caused, I think, a lot of folks to really focus inward and think about how their home is set up, how their home is structured, and what they want. And then, of course, from a Tucson perspective, if I take that down to a granular level, from a Tucson perspective, people are moving out of California. People are moving out of big cities. People are moving out of the cold and wanting a place in Tucson. There's hardly a better place than Tucson to think about for that.
Let's talk about these numbers, the existing home sales. What kind of prices are we talking about, Randy? How has that changed over the year?
Well, we have seen a jump in our median sales price and our average sale price. We've gone up about 11% in the median sales price, and we're trending end of November numbers, but those are year to date, about $250,000 on a median sales price, and average is up also about 11% to $296,000. So the home values certainly are retaining the value of your home, that's for sure.
And that looks like a lot of home to people coming from the Bay Area or the LA Basin. They see those kinds of prices, and they're heading for Arizona.
They are definitely heading for Arizona. They see those prices and they think we should just buy two houses.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing from that perspective.
And let's talk about how you do business in the COVID. This is kind of interesting. There's been so much online, hasn't there? That's been kind of a whole new area of your business.
It really has. Real estate is so personal. You meet one-on-one with your client or your home buyer or your home seller. But that's just not been possible over this last year. So we have seen a dramatic rise in virtual tours and the ability and the technology to be able to do those tours has really come to light. We've seen a rise in the number of folks that buy a house essentially sight unseen. They may see the pictures, but they They know they want this home. They know they have to make an offer on this home, and they can't get here in time. And they turn around and will buy it on sight unseen. So technology has become everybody's friend. It was before this, and the real estate market was very technology savvy in certain parts. But I think what you see now is that if you are an agent and you are not utilizing technology for your clients, you're probably going to lose clients over that.
Randy, am I hearing you say that some people don't even step foot in their new home before they buy it? Is that what I just heard you say?
You did. It's pretty hard to believe, but I think people are desiring the location. They're desiring, and of course, again, that's where technology comes in. A virtual tour of a home can certainly see it, a FaceTime with an agent maybe walking through the home, but they're sitting 1,500 miles away. It's really a different game than it was even as short as 3 or 4 years ago.
How long are these homes sitting on the market? I understand that some homes are going literally same day.
There are many homes that if you have a home priced right and it's in a good location, you may have 10 to 12 offers in a day.
Wow.
Now, that's not it's pretty astounding. Now, that's not every home. So we judge that on a full scale of all homes in the market. And even this is a pretty astounding number. We're down to 33 days on market. That's down 21% from where we were last year. So knowing that you can put your home on the market and within a month probably sell that home is, again, that's a reassurance. And that adds back to what we were talking about at the beginning with the sellers feeling very confident about what they can do, that they can actually sell their home. They're no longer dabbling. They're let's sell it. And boy, it's gone like that.
Are there actual bidding wars on some properties now in Tucson?
They are, and that's another area where, you know, real estate agents, realtors have really come into play, because we'll find offers on a house. It is not unheard of to get 10, 12 offers and to have each of those be a little bit higher than maybe the next, and then the counter offers to ensue, and it keeps flowing. So, again, definitely a seller's market right now, that's for sure.
So with this inventory, what about new housing? The building is going very well too, isn't it?
Yeah, our partners over at Saba and the new construction is, we can't put them up fast enough. And that's our biggest challenge in the area. It's the biggest challenge that many of the areas face is skilled labor. And so the home builders who take all the risk when they build these new homes, but that certainly is a lot less right now, as they know if they put up a new subdivision that they'll sell that subdivision out. So yeah, the new home building is great. The existing home sales are great. Wonderful time.
Where is there housing available? Let's talk about areas right now, Randy. Let's talk about those where there's very little and those where there is some more.
Yeah, the Tucson Central market into the foothills, up into Oro Valley, is really a tight market right now. And that's just because there's not been a lot of new growth. So, and it's a very desirable school systems, very desirable homes, people wanting to get back to the core of a city. That's a very tight area. You look out into Vail, Marana, down into Rancho Sarita. Those are some areas where we're seeing a little bit of easing of that, only because we're fortunate enough that that's where the new home builders are focusing some of their efforts. So you do have a better availability down in those regions.
Well, it's a bright picture. Randy Rogers, CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Congratulations to you and your team. Things going very well. We'll see how it. Everybody keeps saying 2021 is going to be a better year for you. You've had a good year, and let's hope it keeps going. I want to wish you all the best for the holidays and into the new year. Thank you, Randy.
Thanks so much, Bill. Happy holidays to you, and appreciate it. 2021 will be another great year for us.
Thanks a lot. Randy Rogers, CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Now let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. There's still time to put in your dinner roll order. We put ours in on Sunday. Steve and the baking team, it includes his chief baker, Michael. What a beautiful job they do, not only with dinner rolls, but all the pies. They can do the pie, whatever, pretty much whatever one you want, traditional pumpkin, pecan. Open Shelley's mic for me, will you, John? Shelley, I don't know if we've talked with you about your pie favorite.
No, I don't think we have.
Let's do it right now.
I'm going to confess that it's apple.
Oh, you like an apple pie?
I do.
That's pretty American.
Okay.
Right? You know, as American as apple pie. So, and the dinner rolls, just the Parker House roll or something standard?
Pretty standard. I love the individual rolls that come in a kind of a strip and then you separate them.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I can't remember what they're called, but
anyway,
those are just great.
If you were to describe that, just what Shelley was talking about, I like the rolls that are, you just pull them apart. I think Steve can take care of that with his order. So Mona's Danish Bakery is their website, all the information you need about putting in your order. You were just hearing from Shelley Fishman, who is up next on our Tuesday edition of the program with his Tuesday Moneymaker Report. And Shelley, what kind of a sign are you going to give me through the plexiglass here in our studio? You are giving me a very neutral thumb signal, which means pretty flat for the market, but we'll have more to talk about and kind of how this year has been for the markets with Shelley Fishman in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
And our friends at Vero Amore have a gift card promotion right now. $100 will get you a $25 gift at the two Vero Amore locations and their sister property, Noble Hops Craft Beer and Fine Fare in Oro Valley. Also the gift card promotion there. And I also want to mention, bring five cans to the restaurants for the community food bank, and they will gladly knock $5 off your meal. Happy holidays from Vero Amore and Noble Hops.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
Hey, Shelley Fishman. Happy holidays, my buddy.
And to you, Bill.
Well, it's been a pretty darn good year after all is said and done.
Don't ask me how, and don't ask me why.
Yeah, remember back in March, oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, the world was collapsing.
Yes.
And, you know, it's been very interesting from a market's perspective, and the results as they're going to be in, you know, the next 8 or 9 days, versus the actual economy and what people are feeling in that economy are so very, very different that it just calls, you know, really into the forefront of your thinking, this whole K-shaped recovery and the idea that the haves have, and those who don't have just don't have, and it's not getting any better.
Pain on the economy and happiness,
pleasure on the markets.
Pain and pleasure.
The Dow's going to wind up about 5 or 6% up for the year, which isn't a great year for the Dow. But the S&P is going to wind up about 14% up, and the NASDAQ's going to come in at around 42%.
Excuse me?
Yeah, 42%.
And that would be because of the tech-heavy NASDAQ.
So what's happened is that certain sectors, the sectors that are more service oriented are not doing that well. Those that are product oriented are doing fine. So, you know, I always hesitate to mention specific companies here on the segment, but you know, the obvious eBays and Amazons, those guys are doing just great. And what we're seeing, of course, is certain sectors like travel and lodging and other of the service oriented sectors have not done that well. And, you know, we take a look at some major things like automobiles and housing, mm-hmm. you know, have just surprised everybody.
Yeah, I mean, so, just this discussion we just had with
exactly.
the Tucson Realtors, I mean, it just knocks your socks off, this kind of movement they've been getting.
Interesting. I mean, the results for the year have been across the board pretty good, or at least pretty average. So even gold is up 22% for the year. Now, normally, gold would not be doing that well when say, the S&P or NASDAQ are doing that well. The bond, the total bond market is up about 5.1% so far this year when you add about 2 or 2.5% of dividends into that number. That's over 7% for the year, and that's way above market. When you take a look at the muni bond market, just the intermediate bond, the muni bond is about flat. You say, well, that's not great, but it's paying about 4.5% tax-free or federal tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. That, you know, that depending upon your tax bracket, that's 6%. High-yield bonds are actually flat and a little bit down, but they're paying, on average, about 5.5%. So, you know, even if you're retired in a 70-30 portfolio with
your
mostly conservative stuff—
of 70-30.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you're walking away with 5 or 6% on the year, and if you're retired and in a conservative stance, you know, you think that's pretty good. Most investment advisors will tell you that you can take about 4% out of your portfolio every year, and that's kind of a safe amount to take and have some confidence that that portfolio will last as long as you do. But this year, the portfolios are outperforming that 4%. Mm. GDP is interesting. GDP, we had in the second quarter, we had the largest plunge in GDP in history, 36%.
Wow. The gross national product
gross national product.
South and just kept on going, didn't it?
Wow. Absolutely. So, you know, now GDP growth over the past couple of years has not been spectacular. It's been well below average. We had in 2017 2.3% GDP growth. In 2018, we had the effect of the tax stimulus that was provided through the Trump tax deal, but that only raised the GDP in 2018 to 3%. 2019, we're back down at 2.2. Right now, where we sit is a minus 6.5 year over year for GDP. So if you know, GDP is an indicator of the economy and where people stand in the economy, and now we're moving down that K and the K-shaped recovery, that 6.5% negative number is affecting you. We have the long-term unemployment rate, which started off in January at 20%, is now up to 37%. And that's people who have been unemployed for 27 weeks. We think, and we're not sure because it's very difficult to get a standardized figure on unemployment, but we think that number right now is between 6 and 7%. If you'll recall, we started the year with 3%. Mm-hmm. So there's 7 or 8 or 10 million or 11 or 12 million people out there who are really hurting and coming out of this this pandemic-related recession in not very good shape right now. Goods and services, goods are up 7% for the year over last year. Services are down 7.8%. Total wages and salaries, interestingly, are flat the year. So what that says is that if you've got a job, if you can work from home, or if you haven't been, again, if you're in that center part of the K or higher, you're not only doing okay, you probably got a raise. Hmm. And in fact, the top 1% and the top 10% of the economy got very, very big raises.
Well, Shelley, let's look ahead to 2021. A lot of people think there'll be an economic stimulus with the new administration, another one coming.
Well, that's the objective. Well, the one that we're going to see starting hopefully tomorrow was already built into the markets. It's, you know, it's $1 trillion, and 10 years ago that seemed like a lot of money. Now it seems like chump change.
Yeah.
It's not going to help as much as it needs to, but, you know, it's $1 trillion in the economy that wasn't there before.
Yeah, because some thought we needed $2 to $3 trillion
to make this
thing really get going again.
Precisely. I think that's closer to the right number. So $1 trillion on a $20 trillion economy is what, less than 5%.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to see here is that there's going to be a push by the administration, the new administration, for more stimulus. If the Democrats are able to capture both seats in Georgia, then they will control the Senate, and some of that will go through. If, on the other hand, the Republicans hold on to the Senate, the Republican leadership has already said they're not interested in doing much more. Mm-hmm. That's going to put cities in a huge problem, cities and states in a huge, huge mess, and we'll see layoffs in teachers and police and municipal services. And that's just going to make this, you know, K-shaped recovery strung out even longer.
Yeah, because that's a really important point, Shelley, that this stimulus program which passed does not include anything for cities and states, from what I understand.
As I understand it, it includes some money for vaccine distribution.
But not for their economic recovery.
Exactly.
And that is going to, areas here in Arizona are going to really take a big hit on this.
Yeah, you know, the way this is being articulated on the Republican side is that those poorly managed Democratic-run cities have gotten into this situation on their own, and they don't deserve our help. The Democratic side of that is, that's where people live, for crying out loud. Of course they're doing worse than everybody else. I don't want to take that political argument up right now, but what I can say is that this population of ours right now is very urban-oriented and becoming more and more so, and that is going to have a big effect on the recovery, whether it happens in the early part of 21 or later on in the year.
All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you for all you do for this program. Very much appreciate your visits with us, and there'll be another visit before the end of the year next Tuesday.
Absolutely.
So we'll have our end of the year goodbye 2020, hello 2021 visit with Shelley Fishman next Tuesday. Thank you, Shelley. Have a great one.
Thank you, Bill, and be very safe out there this holiday.
Thank you very much.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I do want to mention about Green Things. This is a great opportunity to pick up a poinsettia or two and give them to a neighbor who is alone this holiday season. You know, at Green Things, they have grown 25,000 poinsettias this season. They've still got some a few left. Right here. And so pick it up at 3384 East River Road. Pick up a couple of poinsettias, and it would really cheer up someone who is alone this holiday season. Perhaps the kids are not coming to see them, and they're going to need some kind of cheering up. Like, who wouldn't need cheering up on the kind of year we have had? So check it out, greenthingsaz.com. ZocaloVillage.com is the website for Zocalo Village, and that's on the property as well. They've got that unique collection of Mexican folk art, a lot of holiday treasures, home decor, and more. ZocaloVillage.com. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on agriculture. I am just so honored to have people like Dr. Jeff Silvertooth. He's one of two dozen or so contributors. Their bios and their picture is up at buckmastershow.com under our contributors page. Professor Silvertooth has been with the University of Arizona College of Agriculture and Life Sciences since 1987. He's currently Associate Dean and Director for Extension and Economic Development, where he provides overall leadership and administration and personnel management for the Arizona Cooperative Extension. Jeff, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill. Thank you. How are you doing today?
Doing real well. And Jeff and I share a birthday. We were both born on December 16th. So that's another reason why I like this guy. different years. Jeff's a few years younger than me, but it's always great to have a fellow Sagittarian with me in studio. So, Jeff, we have President Biden's choice for the USDA is worrying some small farmers. Front page of the New York Times business section today. The small farming community just is not sold on this guy. What's the deal?
Well, that primarily stems from their experience working with him before, probably through the Obama administration, where he also served as
Tom Vilsack.
Tom Vilsack, yes, sir.
Yeah.
He's from Iowa. He was the governor of Iowa. I think a couple terms there. And then he served as the Secretary of Agriculture in the Obama administration. And there were concerns then from the small farming industry with his orientation, his support of industrial agriculture, large commercial farming. So it's kind of hard to be in a job like that and please everybody, to be honest with you, particularly as the diversification of agriculture as we see it today. However, in my view, and what a lot of the ag associations do see with Vilsack, is that he's pretty much what we call a big tent kind of an approach as a Secretary of Agriculture. He does have, and his administration has had in the past, a supportive presence for small farming. And I believe that they will not be jeopardized. That is, the small farming segment of the agricultural community will not be jeopardized by that, but time will tell. And it all depends on the dynamics that work out and what the challenges that the industries do face. Agriculture as a whole, faces a lot of challenges, as we all know. And the growing and the burgeoning, the strengthening of the small farming industry right now is an important part of that. So they have an important part, they have an important stake, and I think they sometimes feel like they have a minority stake in the agricultural community. And it's understandable that they'd be concerned at the beginning, but we will see.
But small farming is struggling, aren't they, generally, Jeff, in this country, as there's more and more of this industrialization, or is that trend now perhaps peaked or leveled off?
Small farms have been struggling for decades. And it's
really post-World War II.
World War II, primarily, yes, sir. Yeah. That's right. Part of the problem is that we've seen a massive urbanization movement in this country post-World War II, where we have a very small portion of the people out on the farm today. So there's been a premium economically and from an industrial standpoint to grow more farms. Less people are staying in small rural ag communities. Less people are going into farming. You know, I think it still is today. We just talked about our birthday.
Yeah.
I just celebrated a 67th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And just up until, I think it still is today, up until the past 5-10 years, the average age of the American farmer has been right along the same age as me.
Really?
And we're not replacing those farmers. So there's a need for people to get into agriculture. The scale issue is another thing. When you start to try to maintain a small farm, you know, it's just basic economics. You have to have the revenue in relation to the production costs that you have to keep the farm alive. And the commodity prices that we have today for most, you know, full-scale, broad-scale commodities don't have that kind of a revenue return. So you have, it's an operation of scale that keeps you into business. And what the people going into small farming that have been doing and to survive is going into more of these specialty type crops, niche crops. We see them a lot in this part of the world where they're working in small markets, farmers markets, for example. Mm-hmm. But they're hitting niche markets, and that's extremely important for anyone surviving today in a small farm.
You know, you mentioned, you know, the average age would be, I guess, the late 60s for the small farmer. And you can almost imagine what that conversation is like around the dinner table,
right,
with the farmer and his family. And they're trying to figure out, we'd love to pass this down,
right,
to the next generation, but you can also see that generation saying, I'm just not interested in this challenge.
That's been happening throughout the course of my career. And I've been in agriculture now about 50 years, you know, coming along in professional ranks. And that's been the consistent trend all along. So that's a real problem right now in terms of just the overall agricultural economy, of getting the replacement farmers back out in the business. And it's a big business, you know, for the most part. Now, the small farm producer, that's an entirely different niche in itself. But they have the same struggles, the same dynamics, and just the difficulties in making a living. And so the younger generation typically comes along and says, I think there is opportunity for me elsewhere.
Right.
And quite honestly, in this society, in our system, our economy today, there are opportunities for those young people,
sure,
mainly in urban type settings.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real challenge.
So the next generation may decide, well, then the next question comes up at the dinner table, Jeff Silvertooth. Well, shall we sell this,
right,
particular property to a farming a big farming group, or do we sell it to real estate to break up the property? And I guess it depends how urban an area you are close
That's right.
to.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you come out there from the high plains of Oklahoma and Kansas where I do, you don't,
right,
have that urbanization,
no, you don't,
option too much. But you do have that around places like Arizona and the Southwest, and that's been a common issue here, particularly in central Arizona. And even in places like Yuma, you know, you have that kind of an issue that's come up quite often. But, you know, that's what a lot of farmers are facing today, and that's why a lot of farms have grown. And that's why we have a lot of these big, large commercial farms. So you have one farmer in a community that doesn't have anyone to replace them in that next generation. They sell out or they rent their land to another farmer who does have that capacity. They grow. They become a business. Now, there's a lot of denigration that goes on around big farms, big commercial farms. But honestly, Bill, in my experience, they actually can operate they operate more efficiently if they're managed properly. And it's just like in any business. But the problem that we have there is a shifting demographics. You have fewer and fewer people They're actually holding land and actually directly involved in the crop production, agriculture, crop and livestock production process. And it's a concern that a lot of Americans have become cognizant of in the past couple decades. And so there's been an increasing interest of a lot of, particularly the younger generation now, to move back into agriculture, kind of a renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good in many respects. Mm-hmm. Of course, the problem there is you don't want to have to reinvent the wheel. You know, we have a lot of experience in agriculture today. That'd be best for them to benefit from that. But there's an interest in that, and that's why I say there's some segments of the small farming community that are growing. But it's a struggle for them all, large or small.
We continue now after the break with Jeff Silvertooth, our contributor on agriculture. We're going to take the break right here. It's Buckmaster. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios. And our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. More with Jeff right after this.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of our program presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. That's such a beautiful area over there in Silver City. Jeff Silvertooth is with me in studio. Jeff, I know you love that area of New Mexico, and right now they're struggling like we all are with the COVID situation.
Right.
And they're saying, please delay your trip over to New Mexico. But Jeff, we're all hoping 2021 is going to be a lot better, and people want to start thinking ahead and planning for road trips. It's only about a 3-hour drive over there. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning now for 2021. There's a full listing of great places to stay and so many activities over there, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Right. They have the Gila National, not only the National Wilderness, but Jeff, the world famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument is there.
Right, yeah, beautiful area.
It's a beautiful area. Just north of Silver City is the National Monument. Jeff Silvertooth with us, the Buckmaster Show contributor on agriculture. Professor Silvertooth has been with the University of Arizona College of Agriculture and Life Sciences since 1987. We were talking in our first segment with Jeff about small farming. Some of the small farmers have switched to the hemp production, haven't they?
Some have. It's mostly been on the larger commercial farms have moved to hemp, and that's been the hemp for commercial industrial hemp. But there will probably be some movement with the small farmers if this with the legalization of the marijuana that we see today with cannabis, and particularly if the federal laws come into ratification.
So we have the legalization in effect in Arizona, but federal laws don't really conform to that. So in a way, it puts you with the agriculture extension sort of in the middle, because I know you're getting a lot of calls from people about, hey, how can I grow my own marijuana? But you kind of right now, anyway, with the cooperative extension, you've got to walk a fine line.
That's true. So you can have there's a good example of our republic, the federalism and the republic in operation. So you can have states that pass these laws, but if the overall jurisdiction is managed by the federal government on a broader scale, particularly when we're receiving federal funds, we have to comply by the federal laws. And that came up even a few years ago when we started with the industrial commercial hemp production in Arizona. There had to be a justification of the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Justice. They had to get things in line together. And that's happening right now. As a matter of fact, you may know that Arizona, of course, has passed a law, that several states have, to legalize marijuana, cannabis for, you know, the medicinal,
recreational use
in this state. And just after the 1st of December, the House of Representatives passed a bill. They call it the MORE Act. It was the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act. Quite a name. They called it the MORE Act. But what it did, it broadened the laws extensively, trying to get the laws of the federal government in line with a lot of the states right now. So it was pretty well a bipartisan bill. It was passed in the House. It moved to the Senate. Now, Bill, it's my understanding that the bill then was a similar bill has been passed by the Senate just a few days ago. So if that's the case, then we have a bill moving forward to the White House. And if that passes, if that is signed into law, now that should start opening things up. It's going to open the doors tremendously with regard to both production, utilization in the marketplace, and then also, too, for research. The way the bill has been passed today, the bills in the Senate and the House, they're opening that up for medicinal as well as agronomic type of research for planting and for medicinal research in medical schools and places like that for further development. So what that does, that opens the door potentially tremendously in the next several years. It's really been a lot of change in that arena just in the past 2 or 3 years.
What's your understanding about where is this marijuana grown that is being sold now in Arizona? Jeff, how does that work?
Well, you have to have, for production in Arizona, you have to have a separate license. You can get, the average citizen can get I think 21 years old or older, can get a license through a proper medical facility for consumption, for purchase and consumption. You have to have a separate license for production. Most of that production today, all of it that I'm aware of, is taking place in greenhouses and in hydroponic type of situations and controlled environment agricultural operations. So it'll be interesting to see if this opens up, depends on what the elasticity of the market is. And not being an economist, but just knowing enough to be dangerous about it, I do know that if that's one of the biggest questions we have today is what would be the potential elasticity or the growth development in the marketplace. And if it becomes large, I mean, then you would start talking about a commodity level production that could move it into the field. And that would open up the research and the in the investment for development on that scale, but it'd be quite a different scale than what we see today. So it'll be interesting to see.
I have a quote in front of me from Green Wave Advisors. It's a group that kind of looks into the future in agriculture, and they say that marijuana likely will trade like any other commodity, and someday the United States will be exporting cannabis to other countries. So right now that seems kind of far-fetched, but who knows?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
By the elasticity in the market. How much can this market grow? I mean, obviously we don't have large-scale commercial production today all over the United States with marijuana, but if there's a market and there's a demand, then of course then someone will step up and try to meet that demand. If it's large enough, it would go into a commodity level kind of trading, a commodity level kind of production in a commercial level. So I do not know, but it'll be interesting to see. Sometimes I'm a little dubious, you know, Bill, just kind of speaking offline here for myself as a Jeff Silvertooth independently thinking, you wonder, all right, how many people are going to step up and start consuming cannabis today that haven't been in the past for some way or another? Not to say everybody's been doing something illegal, of course.
No.
But there's been a black market going on out there in the country for quite a while.
So you're wondering about the growth.
Absolutely. What's the market?
Of this particular
commodity.
Absolutely.
You know?
From an agriculture point of view, is cannabis a fairly easy thing to grow?
Yes and no. Yes and no. You know, there's a lot of lessons that have been learned the past few years in Arizona with production of commercial hemp, mm-hmm. which is the same genus and species, just different varieties. So it's based on THC levels and what you're looking for in terms of fiber qualities and oil content and a differentiation of the varieties. But there have been, it's manageable plant. The production is certainly feasible here in Arizona. But what we have to do is we have to figure out things like proper planting windows. Planting windows, variety selection, you know, basic agronomics, fertilization, irrigation, and overall management of the crop that best fits the conditions we have here in Arizona. So that's where it gets challenging. But it's no different with that than it is any other new crop we bring into this region. But it fits into a production scheme and as a warm season plant in many parts of the country. It'll probably fit into a similar scheme wherever you have places like they can produce soybeans. There's another warm season broadleaf plant, cotton, particularly in the southern states. Hemp can fit right in there with that, but cannabis.
The hemp people, the industry, Jeff Silvertooth, they claim industrial hemp crops help to enrich the soil. They say that industrial hemp is a profitable rotation crop. They say that hemp can serve as an alternative to tobacco. Some mm-hmm. of your quick thoughts.
Quick thoughts would be that's consistent with about any crop like that, that it's a broadleaf, warm season plant. And if it's managed properly.
I had not heard that about tobacco. I was just looking at some of the things the hemp people are saying.
Well, if it would fit into the same environment where you can grow tobacco. But I think it has a broader reach. You know, there's research farms up in Iowa with cannabis, and once a large research facility USDA has had for many years in Mississippi.
Really?
So it has a broad range as a warm season plant. Again, you have to look for variety selection and for planting dates, basic agronomic features that are unique to that area for that particular crop. But there's hemp should be no different. Cannabis should be no different than a lot of other broadleaf plants in terms of its capacity to use as a rotation crop, soil building capacity, and the real key is going to be where does it fit into the marketplace. We can grow a lot of crops. The question is, can we sell them and make a living doing it?
All right, Jeff Silvertooth, going to have to wrap it up with you. We're out of time. Has it been a pretty good year, though, for Arizona agriculture generally?
It's been a pretty good year. You know, a lot of crops have suffered this last year with the extreme heat, mm-hmm. warm season crops. You know, we have challenges every year in the produce industry, particularly with the ups and downs of,
sure.
of the markets and demand on the part of the public. It's been overall, on the average, not a bad year, but, you know, it's been the biggest concern we have is drought and our water supplies.
And it doesn't look that great for 2021.
La Nina year, no sir, it's a tough one.
All right, Jeff Silvertooth, all the best to you, and I hope you and yours have a wonderful holiday season. We'll look forward to our discussions with you in the new year. Thank you.
Likewise, Bill, thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show today. As we wrap up this Tuesday before Christmas, on behalf of Dr. Jeff Silvertooth, our friend John Couch, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day. Back with you tomorrow at 12:04.